Our Old Testament reading is taken from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is good. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And our New Testament reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 15. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen.
We pray together. We thank you, Lord God, for your word to us, your word of life and hope. And as we come now to reflect upon it, grant us the help of your Spirit to hear what you are saying to us and to respond to it appropriately for the sake of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Amen. As Aaron has already said to us this morning, it was really, really lovely to have the Grateful Table with the children and families online earlier on. And in case you were wondering what I had for on my Grateful Table, I had my proper coffee. And it was no strange thing for anybody who knows me. And I couldn't fit a football pitch onto the table, but I would have done if I had been able to. But it is good for us, and harvest is a good time for us to consider those things for which we are truly thankful. So as we've already been thinking about a little bit this morning, what are those things in life for which you are truly thankful? Harvest is an appropriate occasion in the year when we take time, we pause, we give thanks to God for his provision, and we recognize that God has indeed created everything. Allow me to be a very predictable Methodist preacher for a moment and quote an occasion in John Wesley's life. When he was studying at Oxford University, he was speaking to a particular gentleman one day. Now, it was clear that this particular gentleman wasn't particularly well off, and Wesley discovered that he only had one coat to wear and didn't even have a bed to sleep in at night. He was really impoverished. And yet he was an unusually happy person, filled with gratitude to God. Now, Wesley at this stage was perhaps a little immature, and he joked about the man's misfortunes to some degree, and he sarcastically said, "And what else do you thank God for?" And the man smiled and said, "I thank him that he has given me my life and being, a heart to love, and above all, a constant desire to serve him." And deeply moved, Wesley recognized that this man knew the meaning of true thankfulness. Many years later, in 1791, on his deathbed at the age of 88, those who were gathered round him realized that he had learnt this lesson in his own life, that we are to praise God regardless of our circumstances. As Wesley began singing that hymn, "I'll praise my Maker while I've breath." We're constantly reminded about how we take different things for granted. I know I do, and I know that I'm not alone in this. We all take things for granted, and then something happens and it jolts us, and we realize we've been taking those things for granted. The courts with thanksgiving, with praise. But a sign of Christian maturity is to not allow the circumstances of life to dictate our expression of gratitude to God in praise. We're not going to sing it this morning, but one of the harvest hymns that are often sung is "Now Thank We All Our God." It's a lovely hymn. But you know the context in which it was written. Some of you will know the story behind this. Martin Rinkart was a Lutheran minister. He lived in Eilenberg in Germany at the beginning of the 30 Years' War during the middle of the 17th century. The walled city of Eilenberg became a refuge for political and military fugitives. But the result was overcrowding and deadly pestilence and famine. Armies overran it three times. The Rinkart home was a refuge for the victims, even though he was often hard-pressed to provide for his own family. And during the height of a severe plague in 1637, Rinkart was the only surviving minister in Eilenberg, conducting as many as 50 funerals a day. He performed more than 4,000 funerals in that year, including that of his wife. He had every reason to be in despair, but was able to offer his thanks to God, despite his surroundings. Doesn't this have something of an echo of our current circumstances? But it was in this context that he penned those words which we often sing, "Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices." You see, we don't just offer our worship to God during those times when life is going well and swimmingly for us. As God's people, we offer our worship regardless of circumstances. Harvest is, of course, a time when we are particularly reminded about how much the Lord has blessed us in providing for us, in calling us to be faithful stewards over His good creation. And we are to be thankful people. And this is appropriately expressed in our worship. The second response that we need to make at Harvest is to give generously to those who are in need. Verse 10 of 2 Corinthians 9, "For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, He will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you." We know that as people are beginning, and sadly it looks like will continue to struggle financially, maybe loss of jobs, loss of income, loss of livelihoods, it will be so much more incumbent on us as God's people to offer that ministry of care and compassion for those who are in need. There's a story of a missionary who worked with the Mazatec Indians in southwestern Mexico. And during this time, she discovered that some interesting things about this people. For instance, the people seldom wish someone well. Not only that, they're hesitant to teach one another. If asked, "Who taught you to bake bread?" the village baker answers, "I just know," meaning that he has acquired the knowledge without anyone's help. She recounted how this odd behavior stems from the tribe's concept of limited good. They believe there is only so much good, so much knowledge, so much love to go around. To teach another means that you might drain yourself of knowledge. To love a second child means you have to love the first child less. To wish someone well means you have just given away some of your own happiness, which cannot be reacquired. But in contrast to this belief, we believe that there isn't simply a finite amount of good or knowledge or love to go around. Just because we generously give to others who are in need doesn't mean that we are ceasing to be able to have food for ourselves. We give out of our abundance. And we know that we have so much, especially compared to so many around the world. There's many ways in which we can show our gratitude to God in giving to others who are in need. And one of the ways in which we've already said is about giving to Storehouse. And so I invite you to continue your generosity by giving to the ministry of Storehouse as we partner with them in this ministry of compassion and care. We give thanks to God through our worship and through generously giving to others. I close with a story which I'm sure I've told before, but it's well worth retelling. At the end of World War II in Paris, there was a little boy who had been orphaned. He scrounged for food and clothes. He had heard the priest talk about Jesus, but with the war, he had lost all hope. One cold morning, this little boy was looking through the window of the bakery, and he was so hungry. A soldier came out of the bakery and gave him some lovely fresh bread and pastries to eat. This little boy was so overjoyed. He looked at the soldier with astonishment and thankfulness, and he asked him the question that was running through his head. "Mister, are you Jesus?" When we give to others who are in need, we are embodying Jesus, the life of Christ in the world. And that is the most appropriate way to show our thanks to God for his generosity and provision. So let us worship God at this harvest for his provision, for all of his creation, as we generously give to those who are in need. Let us pray together. Lord, we are incredibly thankful. Forgive us, we pray, when we take for granted all that you have provided for us, materially and spiritually. Help us to express our gratitude through worship and through generously giving to those who are in need, as we declare our praises and offer our thanks through Christ our Lord. Amen.